Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Without a doubt, Joseph, and as you look throughout Scripture, Joseph is definitely one of the heroes of the faith. He's one of the people in the Bible who seems to always do the right thing, no matter what situation he is in, no matter what circumstances he may be underneath. He always seems to do the right thing, no matter the circumstances or the situations. He thrived in them, whether they were good situations or bad situations, good circumstances, bad circumstances. Joseph thrived in those situations. He never let his circumstances control him. He lived above them and always trusted in God. He always did. He understood that God was in control, and for the Christian who is living by faith, God works everything out for good. We all go through different circumstances. We go through different situations, and they vary according to the family, whatever they may be. But as Christians, our faith and our trust lies in God and not in the circumstances that are about us. We need to live above those circumstances and be leaning on God and let Him work through those. The problem comes when those bad situations come. The problem comes when we try to meddle and we put more faith in ourselves than we do in God. And when we start putting more faith in ourselves, we really start messing things up, even worse than what they were. And Joseph never did this. I love reading the story of Joseph because his faith never falters. It's always in the same place. And when you get to the end of the story, Joseph didn't have what we have. He didn't have the scripture laid out of what his story was going to be. But when you get to the end of Joseph's story, everything that he went through makes perfect sense. And everything that he had to go through makes perfect sense. And as we study his scripture, it's like, oh yeah, that's why the Lord did this. That's why the God brought this into his life. That's why he had to go through this hardship. Because it was a progress to get Joseph where he needed to be. And because Joseph was faithful, God was able to prosper him and was able to bless him and was able to promote him to the point where he was second in command of all of Egypt. And he was second in command of all Egypt because of God's promotion, not because of what Joseph did, all right, but because he had faith in God, and ultimately he's able to save the Hebrew nation. He saves them all. And ultimately, Jesus Christ comes through that as well. And ultimately, he's able to save the world, if you will, through his actions of being faithful through Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ came through that lineage. So his actions were so incredible, and we're able to see the end picture. But Joseph, he didn't get to see the end picture. He wasn't there. He was living in those circumstances, and sometimes we as Christians, we live in those circumstances. We don't get to see the bigger picture. We don't get it. But all we get to do is lean on God and trust Him that He's directing our path and putting us in the right places where we need to be, so that we can prosper, but also His will can be done and worked through us as well. The problem comes is when we try to manipulate those situations. All the so-called bad things that happened in Joseph's life, they were necessary for the preservation of God's people, for the preservation of us. We can thank Joseph because of his actions. I can sit here and know that I'm on my way to heaven, and it could be traced all the way back to Joseph's actions and his faithfulness. That's an awesome thought. Genesis 39 in chapter 1, the purchase of Joseph. We pick up the story here at the point where Potiphar buys Joseph. He was purchased as a lowly slave. Even here, we see the providence of God in Joseph's life. He was bought by, not by just anyone. Out of all the men who could have purchased him, the man that did was the officer of Pharaoh, the captain of Pharaoh's guard. All right, he was put in this position. God brought Potiphar into Joseph's life for a specific purpose. He was sold into slavery for a specific purpose. Genesis, verse number 2, on that same chapter, and it says, "The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." According to this verse, it was the Lord who prospered Joseph. Amen. Joseph didn't prosper himself, and Joseph understood that. He knew it wasn't lifting himself up by his own bootstraps. He knew that what he knew was he needed to trust God God had put him in this situation. God had put him in this circumstances. Now he had a job to do while he was there. And because he did his job and he trusted in God, God was able to prosper him because of that. God had a plan for this young man. And all the wickedness of his brothers and the mighty hand of his captors could not alter God's plan. They couldn't. His brothers meant this for wickedness. They actually wanted to kill him if it wasn't for his oldest brother, Reuben. They probably would have. But to think that your older brothers would hate you so much that they actually want to kill you and they sell you into slavery, that's got to be discouraging. To be perfectly honest, it would be, right? That would be discouraging. Not to Joseph. He just kept his eyes on the Lord. He knew that this all was going to work out together for his good. God has a plan for every Christian. And as long as you trust in God, whatever the circumstances this world throws at you, it's not going to change that plan. It can't be thwarted. All things work together for good to them that trust God. We trust God. We put our faith in God. Whatever circumstances you may be in, situations you're dealing with, whatever it may be, they all work together good to them that trust God. God made Joseph prosperous, and the promise to do the same for us if we fulfill those conditions. If you look at Psalms in chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, you can flip over there real quick, but we have that same promise in Psalms in chapter 1. It says, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." This promise is given to us as well. God made that promise to Joseph. He also makes that promise to us. Joseph is a man who filled his mind with the things of God, and therefore God determined to make him like a fruitful tree. He put him in those positions. Joseph had decided that he was going to follow God and trust in God, no matter the circumstances. God does the same. He'll do the same for you as well. If you meditate on his word day and night, and focus on God, and fill your heart with scripture and fill your heart with the love of God, he promises to prosper you. We see that right there in Psalms. Now, not many Christians are willing to do this or are disciplined enough to do it. It takes discipline, focus, courage at times. But that is necessary. We may not always be prosperous financially, but just as Joseph prospered as a slave in Potiphar's house, so we enjoy success and fulfillment in accomplishing God's will in our life as well. Verses 3 through 6, Joseph's promoted. "And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and all and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored." It didn't take Potiphar long to recognize that there was something different about Joseph. It didn't take him long at all, and Joseph was already in the head of all that Potiphar had. How long does it take the world to notice that there's something different about you? Or is it that when you're away from church, there isn't anything different about you, and they don't even ever take notice? You're just like the rest of them. That wasn't the case in Joseph's life. Potiphar recognized it right away. The jailer recognized it right away. The Pharaoh recognized it right away. It was evident in his life and everything he did, the way he conducted himself, the way he carried himself, the way he talked, the way he acted, all of that. It was different. It was different than the rest of the world. And no matter what job, the first thing he noticed is that he did everything with excellence. As a Christian, we are to give our best in everything that we do. Everything everything. Everything entitles everything. I mean, that's everything, right? Did I use that word enough? Everything. It's everything. I don't know how to make everything more than everything, all right? But no matter what your job is, you're to do your best. You're to be the best at it. Not just enough to get by, but your very best. You know how your employer notices individual employees that stand out? Because they're always working hard and they work their best. You want to be different than the world. The world doesn't work their hardest if there's no gain for them. And I explain this to my economics class at times. Sometimes they don't understand it. A job of an employee is to make the employer money. That's the whole point. Or else there's no point in having an employee. Right? So your job is to make your employer money. That was completely free. All right? So you're to do your best as that employee. I don't know where that came in there. But we're to do our best. Notice in verse 4, he says he served him. Joseph didn't gripe about his circumstances. He was not constantly complaining about how hard his work was or complaining about his hard luck story, because he had a hard luck story. Oh, I had it great. My father loved me. I had this beautiful coat, and I really cared for my brothers, and I had these wonderful dreams that said I was going to be this leader, and then my brothers tried to kill me. They threw me in a pit. They sold me into slavery. Now I'm here, and I got to serve in this pagan land where they worship all these pagan idols. He had a hard luck story. All right, I'm never going to see my family again. My father, who I love, my mother, never going to see him. My brothers, he had a hard luck story, but he didn't complain about it. He didn't whine about it. He didn't gripe about it. He just pressed on. He served on. God put him in that position, and he kept serving. He had faith no matter what the circumstances were. He learned a very important lesson. He was content where he was and was determined to make the best of every situation. That's a tough lesson, to be content where you are and do your best in that situation. Christians need to be there. Joseph's circumstances did not control him. They didn't alter his personality. They didn't make him whiny or cryy or cry. Is that a word? Okay, I didn't think so. All right, but bitter, all right? It didn't make him that way at all. The average person would have given up if you're put in the same spot. He would have. The average person. No matter what man tried to do to him, no matter what problems he had, no matter what people were saying, no matter how horrible his financial situation, he'd not take his eyes off God. He'd purpose in his heart. It wasn't just by happenstance that he accidentally had faith. He had purpose in his heart that no matter what, he was going to serve. No matter what, he was going to have faith. It didn't matter. God was able to bless him because of it. Because of what Potiphar saw in Joseph, he was promoted from slave to his chief servant. And the promotion didn't change him. When he was given a little more responsibility, he just kept his eyes on God. How many people know people like that, right? They get a little bit of power and... Right? Right? He didn't even... They just wield their fists. I don't even know why I looked back there. That was the Holy Spirit, 100%. No, I don't think it was, but... All right, but they get that little bit of power. The power didn't change Joseph. He still leaned on God. He still loved God, even when he was in control. If you're an employer, all right, you still have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to your employees, to God, to your family. You have a responsibility to them all, and it doesn't change you. It didn't change Joseph. He served him in such a trustworthy manner that Potiphar didn't even know what he had. What kind of businessman doesn't even know what he has? Potiphar didn't, because he knew that Joseph was trustworthy. He knew that Joseph wouldn't lie to him. He knew that Joseph could be trusted with everything that he had. And he just said, all right, Joseph, just take care of my banking. Take care of my fields. Take care of my servants. All right, I'm going to go on out and do what the Egyptians did at that time, whatever it was. All right, but he trusted him. He was trusted with everything. And it says that he was well favored with his master because he was faithful and true to all his duties. Christians should be well favored in the community because they are trustworthy. They are well favored by their employer because they are trustworthy. The employer knows that this person's different. They can leave the business in their hands, if you will, because they know that they're going to fulfill their duties. That's the way Christians wire. But the real secret is in verses 2, 3, 5, 21, and 23 when it says the Lord was with him. That was his whole secret. That was everything that he had. As a Christian, people should be able to trust you. At work, we should be hard workers and respect our employer's time. We should do our best in everything that we do for the honor and the glory of God. Joseph's tempted. We see that in Genesis verses 7 through 12. Joseph is propositioned by Potiphar's wife, and when Potiphar was gone, he had the perfect opportunity to give in to the lusts and desires of the flesh, but he didn't. Even though Joseph had the opportunity to sin, he refused to give in. And as we study these verses, we see four keys to Joseph's victory over temptation. Four keys. That's like four new points. That's like a whole nother message. We got time for that? There's a glare on the clock back there. I can't even tell what time it is. All right? But I think it's these new crazy lights you got in here. Anybody ever notice those? They're really bright. You notice them when you come in. Never mind. I get distracted. All right. But Joseph's proposition, and he doesn't give in to those temptations. And there's four keys to his victory. We see the first one in verse number 8. Verse 8, he says, "But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath in my hand." Joseph knew how to say no. Seems simple, but many people don't know how to say no. Be able to say no is a matter of self-discipline. Being able to do that. It's a matter of self-discipline. He had learned to live a disciplined life. It was evident in everything that he did. He was a disciplined individual. And when sin creeped up its ugly head and temptation creeped up its ugly head, he knew how to say, nope, not for me. Because he had already purposed in his heart that he was going to serve God. And I say this to the teens a lot, even in chapel sometimes during the week, but the kids that grow up in church, and then when they get out of church, they turn to the world. That's because they've never purposed in their heart to serve God. They'd only been underneath their parents' authority, and they were just going along with everything. That's because they never decided in their heart that I'm going to live by what God wants me to do. They never purposed in their heart. Joseph had purposed in his heart. So when the time came to make the decision, it was no decision at all. The decision had already been made for him back in his lifetime earlier on. He'd already decided this. So he said no. It was easy. And the reason many people today find it hard to say no is because they're mentally, physically, spiritually, or whatever, emotionally soft. They're not able to do it. They've lived a life of ease. They haven't had to work for anything. So when temptation comes along, they're unprepared. Here's a little side note for parents. All right, this one's kind of free too. All right, parents, one of the worst things that you can do for your children is give them everything they want and fight all their battles for them. They don't need everything, and it's good to let them go through battle once in a while. The parents that give their children everything is going to be giving them everything their whole life, because they're constantly going to be coming and asking and expecting them to do things for them. The parent that fights all their children's battles when the child gets older and they have to make decisions, they don't know what to do because they have to turn to mom and dad. They have to run to them instead of to God. Because the parents have made every single decision in their life for them, all right? Or fought every single battle in their life for them, all right? Let them get a couple scars. Scars are good. Right? Besides, guys with scars look cool, all right? Everyone knows that, all right? Nothing wrong with having a couple scars here and there, all right, as they go through a fight. Scars aren't as cool on girls, sorry. All right, but instead, teach them to work hard. Teach your kids to work hard. Teach them to trust in God. When he gets called a name or he's getting picked on, sometimes let him deal with it. Let him lean on God instead of you. Show him how to lean on God when you go through those circumstances of rough times in your life. Show him how to do it so they know what to do when it comes to them. Secondly, he understood that sin is ultimately a sin against God. He understood that by committing this sin, he wasn't just sinning against his employer, Potiphar, and against Potiphar's wife, but he was also sinning against God himself. We see that in verse number 9. It says, "There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. And how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Joseph knew sin was a terrible thing, and he called it a great wickedness. The reason we fall prey to so many temptations is because we have a wrong view of sin. We don't see it as an offense against God, an all-holy God, but it is. We don't see it for what it is. In today's society, we think it's funny. We laugh about it. We joke about it. You see it on TV. It's a comedy routine. Sin is an offense against God. And it's serious. And he understood that. He said, "How can I do this?" He had true conviction in verse number 10. "And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her." It wasn't just a one-time temptation. It wasn't just that one time. It was day after day, the Bible says. It's one thing to say no once, but quite another to have to do it day after day. He had conviction about it. A lot of Christians don't have conviction about sin. Temptation doesn't usually just rear up its head once in your lifetime. It comes back, and it comes back, and it comes back. And you have to say no, and you have to say no, and you have to say no, because he had conviction. Verse 12, last thing of these 4 points. We're not at the end of the sermon yet. All right, the last thing of these 4 points, verse number 12 says, "And she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out." He knew how to run. All right, he knew how to get out of Dodge when it was time to get out of Dodge. All right, he could say no 1,000 times, but when he got cornered, he knew how to get out of there. The reason many of us fall into sin is because when temptation comes, we don't run, we linger. We hang around it. And we think, "Well, I'm not doing it, so it's okay just to hang around it. Oh, I know my friends are doing that, but I'll still hang out with them when they're doing that. I just won't do it." It's not how it works. That's how you fall into sin. That's how you're tempted by sin. All right? That temptation was there. He was cornered. He was gone. It's that simple. He got out of there. That's the reason many of us fall into that temptation. It's never cowardly to run from sin. In fact, it's spiritual. Paul told Timothy to flee youthful lusts in 2 Timothy in chapter 2, verse 22. He said, get away from it. And as parents, it's your responsibility to make sure your children, if they're not smart enough to get away from it, you get them away from it. That's your job. Right? You watch for their souls, the Bible says. Whether they like it or not, whether they put up an argument or not, their argument doesn't matter, just so you know. You get them away from it. Joseph's imprisoned, and we see that in 13, and it actually goes all the way through chapter 40 and verse 23, but we're not going to read all that. But we come to another dark moment in Joseph's life. He's falsely accused, persecuted for a crime he was careful not to commit, and he was found guilty and in prison. And even though he was innocent, we don't read one word that indicates that Joseph became bitter, angry, or vengeful. Would any of us be able to respond that way? That'd be tough. His hard luck story keeps going on, right? Brothers hate him. Throw him in a pit, want to kill him, sell him to slavery. Gets sold into slavery. Gets accused of things that he didn't do. Gets sent to prison. There was no term, all right? It wasn't like he was going to be able to be paroled. He was pretty much probably bound there for life, he figured. That was it. Might as well sit in my cell and cry. Right? Not Joseph. That's not what he does. Even though he was innocent. Interesting enough, we read of no defense by Joseph as well to Potiphar. In fact, Joseph's testimony was so strong that Potiphar probably suspected that he was telling the truth. Because normally a Hebrew slave that did something like that was going to be put to death. But instead, Potiphar puts him in prison. Potiphar probably knew. He knew Joseph. Joseph's life spoke for itself. God's hand was in Joseph's life. Everything he did prospered. He was honest. He was trustworthy. Right? Potiphar probably knew, probably suspected the truth. fact that he was only sent to prison indicates that he probably doubted his wife's story. But for 2 years, Joseph suffers in prison for a crime he didn't commit. Genesis 39, verses 21 through 23 says, "But the Lord was with Joseph," that's the key words again, "and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not in anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." Joseph's rise in the prison shouldn't come as a surprise when you look at Joseph's life and how he responded to the circumstances that were in his life every single time. It shouldn't be a surprise. Not at all. He had been trusting God his whole life, and God continued to bless him and to bring him to the top. Cream always rises to the top, right? Is that how it works, Dave? Right? It always does. He trusted in God. His faith was in God. It didn't matter that he was in prison. Probably not a great place to be. He was born next to last in the family, soon became best-loved son. Placed in a pit to be killed, soon raised from it. Sold as a slave, promoted to overseer in Potiphar's house. Was in prison, and soon was elevated to be the most favored of all prisoners. He was forgotten about in prison, we didn't read about that, and then was second in all the land. The Lord was with him. It wasn't luck. Joseph had faith. And because of Joseph's faith, in the circumstances that he put it in, God was able to use him, and God was able to promote him, and God was able to save an entire people because of him. As you read the rest of Joseph's story, you see how he interprets the butler and the baker's dream. Word of his interpretations, they get to Pharaoh, and through the butler, and he interprets Pharaoh's dream. After that, he's second in all of Egypt. And all through Joseph's life, he never lived under his circumstances. He always trusted God and lived above them. When hard times came, he just trusted God more. I love the story of Joseph's life. In spite of everything that he went through, from brothers hating him to imprisonment, whatever it may be, he kept his eyes on God. Everything. You don't read about anything bad about Joseph in the scripture. He was a man of faith. And because of that, God was able to use him. God's glory is always for the good of the Christian. It's always for the good of the Christian. And ultimately, Joseph went through all this, and ultimately, God got the glory for it. But it was for Joseph's good as well. Joseph ends up becoming second in all of Egypt. That's a pretty high position, considering especially where Egypt was at that time in world history. He was the second in command. God's glory is always for the good of the Christian. God is working for our good, even when it seems that things are not going right. He's working for our good. There was times in Joseph's life where it just seemed things were not going right. Everything was falling apart. He kept his faith in God. He kept trusting in God. He knew where to stand at him. He knew whom to stand on. And it worked for his good and for God's glory. The story of Joseph would be a lot different if he was like a lot of us. It would be a lot different. It would be nothing but complaining and pity parties if he was like us. But Joseph wasn't. He's a great example for us to follow. Joseph knew this one great truth. Our God is good and is always worthy of our trust. He knew God was good. He knew God was putting him in situations. He didn't know the outcome. He didn't know where it was going to end up. But he knew God was good.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.